This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
There are moments in life that you'll never forget. Memories you'll pass on to your children, and they'll pass on to theirs. They'll be talked about when friends come together as myth, lore, and legend. These are Tales from the Tailgate. All right, guys, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. I'm Stephen Clark, and joining me as always is my good buddy Trev. We're proud to partner up with the Bow Hunting League and kick off this miniseries. And to do it correctly, we want to bring you a tale that's about memory, legacy being carried forward through adventure and dedication. Trev, could you please introduce our guest?
We got the man himself, Kurt Geyer. What's up, Kurt? How are you, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me again. Much appreciated.
Yeah, as always, brother, we like to keep it in the little circle, you know?
I'm okay with that. It's fun, man. It's good to see you guys and good to talk to you guys every time. So
you make a good guinea pig, let's not lie.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm up for that, because when I need somebody to try some stuff out on, I'll be calling you guys.
There you go, man. Hey, I'm good for it.
And especially being the first Tales from the Tailgate, bro. We really appreciate you jumping on and kind of going through this. This could be a little rough, I guess.
Hey, I'm up for it, man. I get how it is. It's fun trying new stuff, so.
That's right, man. So you just killed an absolute giant muley, man. And not only did you kill a muley, but you killed it on your dad's birthday, which we had talked about in prior podcasts. So it's kind of cool, man. Why don't we dive into it, bro? Tell us all about it. What happened?
Yeah, so I went on a Wyoming mule deer hunt with my buddies Devin Leonard and Clint Casper. I drew a tag out there, and we wanted to do like a true high country, back country type mule deer hunt and camp up on the mountain. And we knew we were going. So season opened September 1st. My dad's birthday is the 3rd. So I thought it would be cool to kill. And I actually killed him on the 2nd. But we packed him out into the 3rd, so on my dad's birthday. And for people who don't know, my dad passed away in April of this year, so super recent. It's my first deer season without him, which, you know, is not easy. So it was kind of a tribute memorial type hunt going into this. So emotions were running. They're on a hairpin trigger, man, honestly. Like, it was just going up that high and all that. I was like emotional the entire way. But man, we just hustled through it. Like, biggest challenge for a guy from Illinois was the elevation. And that was, I really thought that was going to end me and basically cut my hunt short. Cause we planned on hunting 5 to 7 days, 5 to 8, 9 days if we needed to. Like, we had the time blocked off and we were going to really just go for it. And, you know, you just never know what you're going to get into. You know, sometimes you get it done quick. Sometimes it takes the entire time you're out there. So, did a couple stalks, failed stalks on some big bucks. Got to feeling that the elevation, and really we just kind of regrouped. I kind of healed up from the elevation and a lot of glassing, finding deer, watching what deer are doing, and then we kind of made our play from there and really just went after it. So it was quite the learning experience, man, going through. It's just different, you know. It's not Midwest whitetails out there. It's high country muleys, so you kind of have to look at things a little different and approach things a little different and make sure you can shoot a long distance. So it was awesome.
For sure. Now, when you guys got out there, did you guys take a day or two to acclimate, or did you guys just jump in like ready to go when you got?
Yeah, kind of. So I got there, I was in Wyoming for almost 3 days before we started hunting.
Okay.
We got on the mountain, we got up there on the mountain and set up our tents and stuff the day before season, and we're looking up where bucks were and stuff like that. And then, so basically slept out there and then woke up the next morning and kind of went after it. So I think I needed more time, honestly, because we camped at 10,400 feet was our camping spot elevation. And the highest we went was 11.1. So for me, the highest I've ever been before was I did an elk hunt in Colorado, and I was like 9.4 to 9.6 was the highest that we were at. And I had a hard time there, but not near as hard of a time as I did on this trip with the elevation. So it was very frustrating, man. It's like you have the energy in your legs, like you're physically, your body feels like it can do it, but in your chest, there's just nothing there to grab to breathe. So it's a feeling that's really hard to explain. You know, Clint's acclimated to that type of stuff because he does, I don't know how many days he spends in the high country a year. Devin kind of lives in it anyway. So I'm the newbie when it comes to this elevation stuff. So I think the first day, well, really what really screwed me, we saw some bucks way off on a far mountain. So when we woke up, we're like, all right, we glassed them up, saw them bed. So like, all right, we're going to head over there. So I was like, well, we'll get halfway. I'll eat. I brought some supplement stuff to basically help me with the elevation and some caffeine and kind of get food in my belly, get a little bit of energy, help me get acclimated with the supplement. I don't know how big a difference they actually make, but I brought them with anyway. And Clint had some stuff too that we were taking for the elevation. And on our way there to the glass spot to make a game plan, that's where I was going to do all that stuff, we find a buck halfway there that we watched in bed. So I didn't get to do any of that. So we went in after him. I got within 55 yards and the wind swirled on me and we didn't make it happen. But so when I got back out of that canyon from that first stalk, I was just dead. Like I didn't feel like eating, but I knew I needed to eat. So I crammed some food down and basically just passed out from exhaustion. And I think, you know, of course, elevation was messing with me. So I slept like 3-4 hours on the hill and we just kind of regrouped and glassed up and kind of made a game plan for the following day for day two. So it was a rough start, man.
That's congratulations. You're in Wyoming.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's like, you know, that's what Clint was saying. It's like, dude, this is why a lot of guys don't do this high country shit. You know, they go to Nebraska or the Dakotas to kill mule deer because you can kill big mule deer there. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely can see how you would want to add 50 inches to a high country buck because it feels impossible. And there's a lot of details that I'm skipping that's going to be on our podcast. I haven't even told the story yet on a podcast. So this is like the teaser details too. Perfect. The story is just insane, dude. Like some of the stuff that went down is just, honestly, I think people aren't going to believe me, but we found where the bucks were crossing through the saddle way up on a mountain. And for people who don't, I mean, saddle makes sense, right? But it's just the low spot way up on a mountain where the deer use as like a pinch point.
Yep.
So I kept calling it a pinch point. They're like, yeah, it's the saddle. I'm like, yeah, that thing up there, you know,
it's a terrain feature.
We get up over there and I don't know how detailed you guys want me to go. I mean, I'll get to the point of it without sharing every single, because it's just, the story would be 3 hours long if I told it. Spot some deer down. Clint's like, hey, you got to get down there and kind of make it happen. And there's four bucks. And he's like, hey, from what I can see, all four bucks are shooters. Shoot the one that you gives you the opportunity, you know? And by the way, I don't know. I doubt this story is not doing it justice on how impossible high country mule deer hunting with a bow feels, because everything is way the hell over there. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, sir.
Nothing's close. Nothing's flat. Everything's like this. Everything's rocky and it's pretty sketchy, honestly. And to get in and close distance is difficult. It's not like sneaking on flat ground where you can just crawl and get up to make a shot. You know, you're crawling in weird spots because you're crawling on a hill like this. So when you're going down, it's not easy to be quiet. When you need to go up, it's twice as tiring. And even just side hilling, you're slipping and rocks are falling and you're making noise. And it's just a mess, man. It honestly is just a mess. And I made a pretty long shot, but I knew I wasn't going to be the best in shape for this, but I knew I was going to be a better shot than I was in shape. So I shot every day, and Clint's up on the mountain watching me down, and I make the shot, squeeze through, pull it off. I wrote my dad's name on my fletching and shot like his signature like color arrow. I always shoot like green or yellow fletching.
Right.
My dad's always a red or an orange fletching guy, always a red lighted knot guy. And I had that set up with Papa Dave and Dad written on my fletchings and watching the arrow arc just up, hits his buck. Immediately he just drops and rolls. Like, I'm not exaggerating. He rolled like 1,000 foot down this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh shit. And there's nothing I could have done. Like, he was just rolling. You know, it was like this. And I panic and dive in after him. Like, I don't know why. It just I don't really know how to explain it. Like, in my brain, with the emotions of like, you know, I went, oh my gosh, there we go. And then I was like, and then I freak out and just went down the hill and slid on my butt in moccasins for like 500 feet, probably busted my feet all up, shattered my left big toenail. So that's like a problem when you're hiking, and slide down there to him and basically just collapsed and lost it emotionally.
Oh, I bet.
But it was like a primal instinct, like go after him, because it just was so difficult the whole trip to get to that point, to like sink an arrow into an animal that I, in my head, I'm like, don't let him get away, which is like not something you normally think.
Well, yeah, you know, you're not jumping out of a tree stand when you shoot at a whitetail, but
yeah,
it's new. It's a scenario you've never seen that. You never experienced it.
Right.
So you never know how you're going to react.
That's exactly it. And I think in my head, I'm like, dude, he's getting further from you. If you need to follow up shot, you need to get down there. And it just was crazy. And I know Clint's up on the mountain going, what the fuck is he doing? You know, but it was.
That's awesome.
It worked out, man. And it was emotional. We were hugging and crying and all sorts of stuff, man. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, I bet. Man, I was watching the phone because, you know, we had the calendar. We knew what your plan was.
Yeah.
So I was watching the phone to see if it posted. But I'm going, well, shit, are they even in service?
No, I mean. We got service when we were at 11,000 feet, you know, we were up on there and our phones are blowing up. We're like, oh, hey, cool. You know? And so I got to a point where I could send, like, it took like 25 minutes to send a photo through up there, you know, but right. I finally got one to the, what I call the OGs of working class. And so, but other than that, it was Zoleo or, you know, an InReach. I was using the Zoleo device, which I actually like better than the InReach if anyone's looking for something like that. But yeah, I basically sent the message back to the crew. I sent a message to Eric, said, dude, buck down, stories is insane. It's like a 5-hour long story. Update the crew if you would. And nice. So, yeah, when I finally got enough service to send the photo, you know, we did. And, it, you know, when I shot him, where I shot him and where he fell was a pretty far distance apart. But, you know, we had to quarter him out. You know, we're in the backcountry. There's no like, hey, man, call Randy and tell him pull around the truck. You know what I mean? Because we had to cut him up there.
Yep.
And it's getting dark. And so we get him all quartered up, everything, and then just get smoked by a hailstorm. And we're like taking cover. There's nowhere to go. We're basically down in the bottom where all there is like jack pines. So we're trying to hide and got our packs on our heads to like not get knocked unconscious by this hail. And then, so I shot him right around 7. We didn't get back to camp till like 1:30 a.m. And I was just dead. Like, I crawled in my sleeping bag expecting that I was going to just die
and not wake and up,
die, like pass out from exhaustion. But like, my brain was, I swear my body, like, kind of, I tricked it into survival mode because, like, the hike out up the mountain, first of all, killed me. And then the hike through the dark. And then my headlamp died. We were using our phone lights. Our phone lights died. And we're trying to find the trail on Onyx. It's pitch black. So by the time we got back, tied all the meat up and the cape and everything up into the tree and got into the tents, like, I think I, like, triggered my body into, like, a light survival mode. Like, it's hard to explain. But I thought I was going to pass out just and sleep like a baby. And I just didn't. Like, I just laid awake all night. And next thing I know, it's like, all right, we got to go back down the mountain, like, back to base camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dude, I didn't sleep at all. Like, I'm dead. And my Midwestern ankles were just like, I was like a baby giraffe, dude, trying to go down.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And it's the most secondhand fun type trip you could ever have. And if people have never heard of secondhand fun, it's, and we were talking about the whole time we're up, they're like, dude, this sucks right now, but it's going to be so fun in 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to talk about, dude, remember the hail and Kurt was such a bitch going down the mountain and like all that, you know. So it's the most secondhand fun trip ever. but it's one that I'll remember the most vividly in my brain forever until I'm gone.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how they tend to work out, is anything that sucks that bad, you and the guys that are there doing it together, mm-hmm. you will talk about that for the rest of your lives, and it will be the greatest memory ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Just not while you're doing it.
No, but like we knew, we talked about consciously why we were doing it. Like, dude, this is going to be so good later, you know? And honestly, I look at Devin and Clint differently after that trip, like in a good way, in a positive way. Like, because we went through like that experience together, and I had a hard time, man. I really did. And when we killed my buck and we all had them, you know, we split them up three ways and had them on our backs going up this mountain. And Clint's the man. Like, Clint, this is how steep this hill was. Clint had to go first to make the footholds for us to step into on the way up this.
Right.
So, and I was in the middle. Devin was behind me. And I'm like dying. You know, they each had a front quarter and a rear quarter on their backs. I had backstrap stakes, Cape Skull rack on my back. And there was like times where this hill was so steep, I almost went backwards and you're falling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was having the hardest time out of the three of us. So they put me in the middle just in case. And Devin at one point's like, dude, I know you're feeling really down on yourself because you're having a hard time. He goes, but this sucks really bad for all of us. Like, don't think you're the only one struggling, because this is misery. Like, this mountain is steep for anybody. So that, you know what I mean? They did a good job of like, dude, this sucks for us. So don't think that you're the only, you know, you're the only wussy here because we're having a hard time.
And those boys have done it a million and one times over.
Clint is a maniac. Like, we all know Clint's a maniac. Mm-hmm. No, nobody understands truly how big of a maniac Clint Casper is. Like, seriously, three times more of a maniac on the mountain than you could even wrap your head around.
Really?
He's the craziest dude I've ever seen. Like, in a good way, though. But
so is it everything that you ever wanted it to be? You've been out there and you've had success, but it wasn't with the bow as far as mule deer hunting.
So, yeah, like, I killed him with a rifle in Oregon a few years ago. It mm-hmm. was with loophole optics. We're out there right. with them. So it was kind of like, hey, man, shoot one with the loophole scopes. I'm like, well, okay. Right. Jumped me into it. But yeah, this was the first. And that wasn't as high of country as this was. You know, that was steep country, but not like this was steep. So that was like the appetizer, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was your warm up.
Yeah, this was the main course, dude. And it was brutal.
So what do you think that your buck actually scores out at?
He's like 160.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you in the studio, dude. I said, there's no way you're going to walk up and be like, oh, there's a 125. I'm going to shoot at him. I said, you're coming across some big deer where you're going.
Yeah, 160 was like the point of like, I would freak out if I killed a 170 muley or better. And we got up there and it was like, you know, we saw some bucks in the 70s, but a lot were in that like 160 range. Yep. And it was like, man, you know, and when we saw those four bucks together, that there's two with the, so I shot one of the back two in the group. The other two were around this rock face that I couldn't see, but it was now or never, because if I didn't shoot when I shot, my buck would have moved around the rock face with those other deer. But the other two that I couldn't get to were a little bigger. They were probably 70 type bucks. But for me at that point, I'm like, dude, I'm wrap it up.
If you're choosing between 160s and 170s, and the fact that if you want the 170 and it's going to cost you four more days to make a move on him on that terrain.
Right.
I'm shooting the 160 every time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And the only thing that hurt, and I don't give a shit about the score, for the record, for anybody that was going to say something in the comment, I don't care. It's not what this whole hunt was about. Right. This whole hunt was about exactly. my personal journey and kind of doing it for dad and getting through it. The whole score thing's a bonus, but when you look at the buck, the only thing that hurts him is his four on his left side's a little short. It's the only thing. But other than that, like, you know, when I went in, I'm like, I want to shoot a 160 to 170 buck, or what is a really good representation of a velvet mule deer.
And you nailed it. You friggin' nailed it. But
yeah, that's a 10 when it comes to that, man.
The other part is, you know, the story behind it. Like, we had talked on the show how you wanted to go out and your goal was to do this. You do it for your dad, do it on your dad's birthday, and then, mm-hmm. you know, take part of your dad with you.
Yeah. We spread his ashes on the mountain. Yeah. So where the buck fell and we cleaned him out, you know, and quartered him up and all that. And, I had my dad, a little bit of my dad's ashes in my pack the whole time. And I honestly, I didn't even think about it being, it wasn't his birthday when I shot the deer And I didn't even think, like, in the moment how late it was that it was, like, getting into his birthday, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we cleaned everything up, and we actually got hit with the hail first. And then we get back. I'm like, hey, I'm going to spread my dad's ashes. So we kind of got ready, and we kind of just said, like, hey, thank you. We figured the hail was my dad. Like, the way it worked is, like, he was like, hey, congrats, take this and have fun. Well,
see, he was trying to do you a favor. He said, here's some ice. Go ahead and pack the meat now while you wait.
You know, that might have been what he was doing. I never thought about that till now. But, yeah, we kind of just said a few words and said thanks to Papa Dave and spread his ashes right there, right where – I mean, I spread them right next to where I quartered the deer out. And my dad always had Sour Patch watermelon candy. And so I brought 2 packs of those up there. So we're up there just throwing down Sour Patch watermelon candy and just, you know, just trying to do just like that one little thing that my dad had when we went to Colorado. It's like looking over, my dad's eating candy. I'm like, give me one of those. That's a lifesaver right now, you know?
Yeah.
Give me one. So we were having a ball, man. It was pretty emotional, honestly, but it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
That's so amazing, bro.
Congratulations.
When we saw the pictures and we both were like, dude, that's nuts. Like everything that you wanted, everything that you had talked about, it just came tenfold. And I could only imagine the emotions and, you know, the things that you went through in that hunt, because it was for your dad, man. You know, it was more for your dad than it was. And you could just see it in your eyes and your voice when we had talked about it, that it was more for your dad than it was anything, man.
Yeah, for sure. And it was
the legacy, you know, of it.
I'll get into the shot details and stuff when I do like the full breakdown. Like, mm-hmm. Really, when I tell you, like, it's going to be a 3-hour podcast, there's so many details to that hunt that in the time we were up there, so many variables get thrown at you and just so much stuff when you're not going back to the cabin or the house or whatever, like you're staying up there. It's just kind of crazy what gets thrown at you. But yeah, I mean, it was just, the whole thing was nuts, dude. It was incredible. And yeah, it was about my dad and like the shot, like I always kind of doubted that type of like spiritual. And when I say doubted, I don't mean like I didn't believe in it, but like I was skeptic of those things.
Right.
And I never really believed in like, oh, so-and-so was like looking down on me and helped me through this situation. No, I'm a full believer in it now. Like the way the shot worked out and just the whole chain of events, it was like my dad was like, I'm doing you a solid. And I think that's why the hail came, because he's like, all right, I helped you here. Take this, ugh, you know.
Just making you stronger, as he always had, right?
I guess. Or he just wanted me to remember it more.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Like it wasn't enough of an emotional roller coaster from the beginning, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was nuts, man. I actually, when we do the Working Class Bowhunter podcast of it, I have a clip. I didn't know it, but my buddy Devin Leonard was recording just a voice memo on his phone when he came down the mountain. And like, you can hear our reactions when we all meet up. Like we were like won the World Cup championship, like 3-way team hugging. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you see like a soccer team jump around in circles. Everyone's like hugging. That's what we did for, I don't know how long.
Oh, I believe it.
It was nuts.
Man, that's amazing. Hell of a story. We're honored that you're number one on this series. We're honored that you're the first person to put this out and you get to hear tidbits of it here first. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on to tell the story, man, because it was amazing. And I'm honestly still on cloud nine. Like, I think about it every morning when I wake up. Like, just not necessarily like the killing of the animal, but like the experience.
Yes.
And that we pulled it off, really.
And that's one of those ones that's really going to play out, that it's not the shot, it's not the kill, it's the before and the after. And that's what it's going to paint, that picture about what a hunt is.
For sure.
No,
for sure. I'm excited to tell the story in detail. Like, I could do it now, but your segment would be way too long and you'd probably shoot me.
No, we want to save the juicy details for you guys, for your show.
For the important stuff, man. We just the recognition of what it actually is. And, you know, like this series is more or less for like the legacy, man, of just, you know, the memories of it and everything like that. And I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to that, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. And I feel as if you're going to have one of the most emotional seasons that you've probably ever had in your entire life, honestly. Like, definitely. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster, bro, for you and killing deer, because, you know, you've always done it with your pops, you know, like it's always Papa Dave has always been there by your side when it comes to it, man, probably since you were a kid. I mean, you see all the pictures and all that stuff, and
yeah,
I think it's so cool I think it's awesome, and you're respecting them in the right ways, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be tough emotionally, but, you know, it's what my dad wants me to do. Obviously, what we've always done is hustle and get after it, and, you know, I have no doubt he'll be with me, and the only thing that does suck is I can't call him and be like, hey, what do I do? And he can't tell me, stick to your game plan, man. Like, you change your game plan up, stick with the first one. You're good.
Yep.
You know, but I just have to remember that's what he would tell me, and I'll be just fine. That's all right. We'll figure it out.
Rolling into the season, you know, what is your game plan?
Kill a big whitetail.
There you go.
Now that's I'm summarizing. I'm going to have a good time, man, and really just kind of challenge myself to be, I like trying to be more and more calculated, you know, going in. So
awesome.
That's my goal. Going in with the least intrusion as possible. Kind of feel like a ninja type, you know, see what we can pull off.
Can't knock that. I mean, you go in there and you just work into it, try to get a little better every hunt. Mm-hmm. And in your case, you're expanding. You know, it's not just whitetail anymore. It's antelope, it's mule deer, it's bear. You know,
yeah,
we're going to get the elk down the road from you, I'm sure. We're going to have the moose hunts down the road, you know, all the crazy exotics. You know, let's take you to Africa and let you shoot a alligator or some shit. I don't know.
He needs a leopard. He's a leopard there kind of guy, I feel like.
That'd be cool. I might be going mountain lion hunting this winter. I don't know.
Gotcha.
And then I have an elk hunt booked next September with my buddy Trey.
So already ahead of the game, man.
I'm trying.
Hey, you're not trying, man. You're out doing. That's the difference.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I'm going to get a loan out. I'm going to like take a second mortgage out on the house and do a moose hunt in a couple years or something. You know, really make my wife happy.
Oh, she's going to love you, man. I can already hear her now.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, exactly. I appreciate you jumping on. Thanks for sharing the story. And
of course,
we'll definitely be in touch and follow along because there's a lot more big news coming from the whole WC family as a whole. And anybody that wants to follow along and catch up, you need to watch them and pay attention because I'm telling you, big news coming from multiple members.
I appreciate that. And we do have some exciting stuff to announce. We kind of teased it on the podcast we did with you guys a couple episodes ago now for you. And then, just a lot of some animals are hitting the ground as we podcast right now. So that's exciting and projects coming out and all that. But I appreciate you guys letting me be the guinea pig for this segment. I really like what you guys are doing and I respect it. And you guys are the shit. So much appreciated.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Means a lot, man. Well, we'll carry this thing forward. And in the meantime, everyone stay tuned for the next Tales from the Tailgate.